with Willie Mays on our hearts and our minds. RIP to GOAT. Yesterday was 618. What's 6 plus 18? 24. What's the year? 2024. The Say Hey Kid, number 24. I mean, everything is coming out there. Paulie just brought to my attention the video of Vin Scully meeting Willie Mays in 2016. And I'm just amazed how Vin Scully can recall stuff from, I don't even know, the 50s, 60s in 2016, telling Willie Mays, you are my favorite player of all time. You are the greatest player I've ever seen. He's talking to him not about the catch in the World Series. He's talking to him about a play he made with two outs, going to his right, diving in Ebbets Field. He remembers it like it was yesterday, at least the way he was able to recall. I was just saying to Marco, I'm like, I'm not like that. I've been to so many live games. There's live Yankee games I've been to, and things have happened, and I'm like, I was there. I can't remember it, but again, rest in peace to Willie Mays. We're going to take some Willie Mays calls and mix in your Yankees calls and Mets calls. I'll probably go a Willie Mays call, a Mets call, a Yankee call. We've got 2 hours to do everything. Keith McPherson on the Fan to 2 a.m. Let's get right back into it. Tosh is in Westchester. Tosh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? Great show. Love listening, and much respect.
Thank you.
So back in around 1980, I was delivering pizza at the time, and a friend of mine had a membership in a luxury building in the Bronx. It was in Riverdale in the Bronx, and we wound up finding out that Willie was living there. So lo and behold, I actually found out the apartment he was living in. So my boss at one time in the pizza shop made up these new menus that he wanted delivered to all the buildings. And I found out the apartment. I dropped a couple of menus up there, and nothing happened. Then I did it about two or three more times, and it was a Friday night, and he actually called for a pie. I delivered it. I was like, my mouth dropped when I opened the door, but I knew it was going to be him. And I just said, hey, Mr. Mays, you're one of my favorite players. And he just said, thank you very much. I got a $5 tip, and he signed the receipt. So, you know, that was just an awesome time for me.
Yeah, love it when a plan comes together.
Exactly.
Well done, Tosh. Good story. You know, like what I love about radio, and I already said it, is theater of the mind. So as folks are calling to tell their Willie Mays story, you can kind of picture it. Obviously, it's not going to be exact, but in your own mind, you can think of what that building looked like in Riverdale. You can think of, you know, him going there to drop off these menus and just hoping against hope that, man, Willie Mays orders a pizza one day. And then when he does, this is it. This is the moment. I get to meet my favorite player. I get to meet Willie Mays. And that's a great story, man. So far, we've had all great stories. And, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. Give someone their flowers, celebrate their life and legacy. And, you know, Willie Mays is up above listening. Obviously, his legacy in New York is huge. Obviously, it's big in California as well. But if you have a story to share, whether it's, you know, an encounter or whether it was from afar, I'm giving you the platform tonight. This is what we should be doing. Obviously, we're talking Mets and Yankees as well as the Mets win. 7 in a row. Just when people were saying they were dead. Just when people were not believing and giving up on the team and talking about punting and the deadline and rock bottom. A purple mascot from McDonald's celebrates his birthday in Citi Field, and they haven't lost since. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. You know, one of those nights, a little different than what I expected to be doing tonight, but we're going to do everything.
Yeah, I saw you put out the tweet that Willie Mays died, and I was kind of confused for a second because I think it was SNY, but somewhere, MLB Network, one of them. I remember hearing his name kind of getting thrown in there with, like, the Negro Leagues and everything coming up, and I forgot. It's kind of like side note. I don't think MLB's marketing Rick Wood as much as they could be. like on the site and everything? Because I just completely forgot that game.
Honestly,
this week.
Not to cut you off, yeah. I just heard the same thing from my boy Dre about the, you know, the MLB Combine. Oh, it's not marketed enough. Like, if you're not a baseball fan and you're not watching MLB Network, you're not subscribed to newsletters, you don't get the emails, you don't follow them on Twitter, Instagram, like, I don't know. It's not going to pop up too many places. But for a long time, people have criticized Major League Baseball's ability to promote their players and their game. Go on.
Well, I think, one other quick thing. I think there's other stuff like the All-Star game we start hearing about in April. So I think they kind of like prioritize some things more than others. I mean, the setup that, you know, preparation they're going to put into this thing, and we hear, you know, sometimes you have the Patterson mayor on what they're trying to do over at Hinchcliffe. I mean, with the preparation, I think they should market it a little more. But I completely forgot that was this week, and then I put two and two together, and then I saw you posted the screenshot how this was, you know, I don't know if Willie was actually going to be out there or not, but, like, they were going to make a call back to him with San Francisco.
He wasn't going to make it. But he has been interviewed. He just was interviewed a couple days ago. That's where that quote came from. That's why it shocked me, because I'm like, man, he just said the words, that field is still standing, or that field is still here, and so am I. He said, all these years, it is still here, and so am I. How about that? And it's like, bruh.
Well, this reminds me of a couple years ago with Franco Harris. Now, that he was a couple years younger, and, you know, that was even more on him because he was doing the podcast, but just kind of, you know, you like send shivers down your spine, something like this, how the guy like this was targeted towards him. You know, the Giants, they don't pick, you know, Giants, Cardinals, that's the kind of, you know, I know these last couple years they did Cardinals Cubs last year, you know, you kind of pick this matchup. I know it's Cubs Reds, but either way, you pick this matchup, and, you know, specifically for a guy like Mays, and even see with the Mets a couple years ago, specifically retired his number kind of by surprise to make sure they did it while he was still alive. So I don't know, man. This is surprising to see. And, you know, RIP, a lot of people say, kind of with baseball, you obviously have Gretzky, even Jordan LeBron debate, and even Brady with football, but it seems like baseball is the one sport where there's not a consensus GOAT. But I feel like if there was one that a majority of people would agree on, it feels like it would be Willie Mays. So, I mean, this is a crazy loss for the baseball world.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, just appreciate like... Everybody that has seen Willie Mays or was old enough to watch, or, you know, I guess Keith Hernandez talked about it during the game. I didn't see Yes Network talk about it during the game. I don't know if Kaster Cohn and Girardi, I don't know if they spoke on it too much. Like I said, I stopped watching the game and I was listening to the Mets broadcast, and then I saw a clip of Keith Hernandez who talked about how he got a ball signed and it's up on his mantle, and how he said, you know, He grew up in the Bay Area, and Willie Mays was the best player he ever saw. And I just was watching the video of Vin Scully, who has seen some of the greats, say, no, you were the best player. You wore the wrong jersey, but you were my favorite player and the best player I ever saw. You know, GOAT debates are very common now. Everybody's the GOAT. I'm the GOAT. You're the GOAT. This guy's a GOAT. GOAT emoji. GOAT emoji. But, like, when you hear people talk about Willie Mays and how he played the game, I don't think the numbers even do it justice when you see, like, 660 home runs, right? There's talk about how many home runs he would have hit if he played in a different ballpark, if he, you know, played right away in Major League Baseball. I think I saw the Yes Network put out, you know, over 3,000 hits, 3,293 hits, a 301 average, two-time NL MVP, 24-time All-Star, 12 Gold Gloves, 1954 World Champion, 1951 NL Rookie of the Year. And Baseball Hall of Famer. You know, I just think that anybody that could speak to seeing him with their own eyes, they tell you that he could hit for power. He could run. He was a five-tool player. He could steal bases. Listening to Vin Scully, he talked about how he's like, you attacked every baseball. You charged every baseball. And if that ball was to roll, that ball would have rolled 400 and some feet. But, like, he was so confident in his game. And, man, if, you know, it's funny. I get some calls. I forget who it is that usually calls, an older gentleman that usually calls and tells me to watch movies. And I'm like, I don't have time to watch movies. I watch live sports. Well, I watch sports documentaries, and the Say Hey Willie Mays documentary on HBO, I encourage all young people that didn't get to even kind of see any Willie Mays anything to go watch that documentary from 2022. They do a great job depicting his life how he had to live, what he went through, being this great baseball player, but then on the other side, being a black man in America. It's very interesting to see how they did this, and they physically have Willie in the documentary, some 91 years old, talking about things, and he was sharp, man. He's a GOAT, man. He's one of the greatest. We'll continue the conversation around Willie Mays. Rest in peace to an icon. Jerry's in East Rockaway. Jerry, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, I'm fine. There's often an expression when people call it first time, long time. I'm 70 years old. I go back to the first day at the Fan. I'm a high school classmate of a famous Yankee fan, a little on the grumpy side, who used to work at the station. And it's great to chug in with Willie. One of your spiritual godfathers in the sports radio biz, Arthur George Russ Jr., used to say, "I saw it on the radio." And he used to refer to the great ball orchard in the South Bronx. So even as a Yankee fan, people like Mickey Mantle always acknowledge that the best five-tool player that they ever saw was Willie Mays. And one thing everybody might like to do is Google on YouTube the old kinescopes of the Home Run Derby show, and you'll see Killebrew and Nellie Fox. But the best one, the very best one is, and there are several of them, of Willie and Mickey together, and they just had such a great camaraderie. They had so much fun together. They had great smiles. They were totally charming and disarming. So I have a few stories I'd like to share with you, if you'll indulge me, about Willie, even as a dyed-in-the-wool congenital Yankee fan. And it's somebody who still would love to line up and water the graves of Horace Stone and Walter O'Malley. One of the things that I remember is in the early days of the Fan, I was driving from Baltimore to New York, and I heard an announcement on the radio that the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Times Square was opening. And one of the draws of the come-ons was that Gloria Rothstein was running a card show. And in 1951, some artist on 3x5 index cards, watercolor artist, did 50 of the top National League and 50 of the top American League players, two of whom were Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. So originally, they were supposed to have 750 of these as enlarged 11x14 autographed with certificates of authenticity lithographs. So I chimed in for mine, for Mickey, of course, as a Yankee fan. But when I got it, I was a little surprised to see that instead of out of 750, it was out of 2,000 because there was such demand for it. So it just shows you that of all the iconic players in baseball, that the two people who were chosen for that, who were active in the golden age of New York baseball in the 50s, were Willie and Mickey. Mm-hmm. And I know those things, they just sort of flew off the shelf. And it just astounds me. Every so often in delis on Long Island, I go in and I see these autographed pictures of Willie from 1954 in the World Series against Cleveland catching that Vic Wertz fly ball. It's like impossible that he could have run that down in the Polo Grounds, which had like more room than like the outfields in Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium.
480 feet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing to me. Unlike Mickey, who always regretted the fact he stayed too long and batted under 300, that Willie's career batting average was 302, even when he stayed on for Mrs. Payson and the Mets and to make some extra money. Two-time MVP. And since you're into numerology, 24 All-Star appearances, it's just like his number, mm-hmm. Which I think is a great fact. Also, I think it's really important for people to know a few things of his backstory. Like DiMaggio and Yogi and Scooter and Jack Russell Robinson and Ted Williams, who served both in World War II and Korea, and Hank Bauer, who was a Marine, and Ralph Houck, who was a tank commander, the Iron Major. Willie, some of his prime early years were spent being drafted and serving in the Army. So he was a real patriot. You know, he didn't try and dodge the draft, but he just sucked it up and did it. One of the things that might be really interesting for you to do, because I know you're a big fan of and friend of the Schmoozer, is since Steve Summers began his broadcasting career in San Francisco, I'm sure he has tons of great Willie Mays stories, and you really should get him back on as a
I'll put a note to call Steve tomorrow. I don't know when he's due up next on the Fan, but I mean, we need him to come in and talk about Willie Mays for
Your friends, a couple more things. I don't want to monopolize your time, but there's some really important stuff about him I think people need to know. When the Giants moved in 1958 to San Francisco, people don't realize this. Willie was bitterly resented by the fan base there because they saw New York export, and they loved Willie McCovey, and they treated him like garbage. They really did treat him like trash. And he was the great five-tool player who Mickey Mantle said was the best player in baseball that he himself ever saw. I personally felt a little sad for him when the Mets finally signed him. You know, Mrs. Payson was in her dotage, and she picked him up because she wanted to bring a little glory back to the Mets. And it was kind of sad to watch him. He hated the Astrodome because the turf was so terrible. It was so rough on his knees. But he still had the grace of controlling the outfield for the 73 World Series. So if I can, I just want to chip in two other little anecdotes. One is there used to be a very famous Catholic prep military academy on the south shore of Long Island in a town called Oakdale, called LaSalle Military Academy, run by the Christian Brothers de LaSalle, who have Manhattan College in Riverdale. Somebody mentioned Riverdale on the show before in the Northwest Bronx, and LaSalle University in Philadelphia. So anyway, Willie's son went to LaSalle, and there were a couple of famous restaurants at the time in that area. So you can imagine on graduation day from this military academy that everything was overbooked, and people were elbow to elbow like Carmine's in Times Square in Manhattan. And all of a sudden, this African-American man came to the door, and he got turned away with his son on graduation day. I'm getting a little choked up. But the maitre d' immediately recognized Willie. That was like the parting of the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. They made a huge space for him, and they gave him the place of honor, and he was called up in a biblical way to the highest place, which I thought was a great story.
Yeah.
Just like the kind of discrimination.
Powerful. He just dropped off, but thank you for the call. Theater of the mind again. You know, the power of baseball. A guy just being that good at baseball, being an icon, and that being the transcend. Being able to transcend race and racism and hate and discrimination, and you know, any other brothers that would have rolled up at that would have been turned away and treated, you know, and he wasn't bigger than it. You know, you just heard the last caller say in San Francisco, and when you watch that Say Hey documentary on HBO, they do a great job of showing you how, even though on one hand they looked at him as this great baseball player, as soon as he wasn't on that field, as soon as he wasn't wearing that cap and that uniform, still black. It's unfortunate, those times, you know? And that's why I say we still have further to go. We've gone a long way, but there's still some hate and racism and negativity, not just against black people, but, I mean, all over. Sports is a way to neutralize that. Sports is a great equalizer. Sports is supposed to be about, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, can you play? And you get respect off of how you play. 888-808-1019. Josh is in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Josh? You got it.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing, young man?
Very good. I haven't called in a while, actually.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. How's school?
Yeah.
Well, school is out. How was school?
Yeah, I was studying at Regents, stuff like that.
Oh, Regents.
Yeah.
Tough.
Well, first of all, pretty solid game today.
Yeah, the Yankees... The Yankees stood up to those big, bad Baltimore Orioles that everybody was scared of.
And yeah, as long as this doesn't happen, what happened to with the Red Sox, I'm fine, you know?
Yeah, I'm over the Red Sox series. I got on yesterday, and I was like, listen, it's baseball. Like, they lost two games. They got. The game plan worked. It's not.
Forget about it.
Did the Baltimore Orioles try and run on them? Did the Baltimore Orioles steal nine bases? No.
Yeah. Also, I really hope Aaron Judge is going to be able to continue playing how he was playing before, you know?
I think he'll be all right. It sucks. It's just like, it's like watching a car crash. It's like watching a, it's just,
you know, like the second, like, when he got, when we talked about, like, when he got injured, the first thing I thought about was, like, how in the beginning of the season, we thought he was injured, so I want to go back to that slump again, but hopefully he'll still be playing great.
I think he's just going to ice up, and Boone said it, Aaron Judge is one of the toughest guys. He's tough as nails. He's going to ice up, and as a precaution, they probably hold him out of the game tomorrow, which is okay, because, you know, Garrett Cole comes back, he'll get all the attention, the pressure will be on him.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so hopefully they can win the game and take the series, but even if they don't, it'll set up the rubber match.
Yeah, I think he's going to go on. Willie Mays, Clay Holmes, it's okay. It's fine. Not such a big deal.
Yeah, it's going to happen. He doesn't give up too many homers. It happened tonight. They didn't lose the game, but I understand.
Happens to everybody, and they still got the win.
Right. They won the game, but I understand people want to point at Clay and say he's not good enough. He's a problem. We need to do better.
Well, everybody could criticize, of course.
Yeah, it's easy to do that.
Also, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but, you know, how long do you think it's gonna last for, this whole Grimace thing?
I think it probably continues, even if they lose. I think because it was a home field thing, I think it continues through this week and the weekend. They could lose the rest of the games on this road trip, and I think it continues till they get back home. But I don't think they're going to lose.
Looks like they're having a blast the match.
Yeah, good. That's what I'm saying. Like, the players look like they're having fun. They got something to prove. They're doing that little smack the bag, smacking. I don't know what that is when they score, and it's solid. Young Josh, appreciate you, bro. Get some rest. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I think that, you know, they could sweep the Rangers. They could sweep the Cubs. Or they could lose to the Rangers tomorrow. So what? They took the series already. And then they could go to the north side of Chicago and take 2 out of 3. And you're still looking at the power of Grimace. You're still looking at the power of the team meeting they had, the power of changing the lineup, having Lindor leading off, having Francisco Alvarez back, Edwin Diaz back. And people are telling you that the Mets are back, and I think that's perfectly fine. Let's go to David in Flushing on the Fan. Hello, David.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, just trying to balance the conversation around the Yankees, the Mets, and still pay our respects to the great Willie Mays.
For sure. Well, first of all, it's an honor to be speaking with you. A couple of quick points, if you allow me.
Sure, thank
you. First of all, I am a huge Yankee fan, but with that being said, the whole Grimace thing, you know, it's fun. Grow up. It's just embrace it. These people that are, like, shutting down the, you know, it's not Grimace, it's the players. Just, you know.
We know that. We know that he doesn't get any at-bats. He doesn't pitch.
Exactly.
But it's just a fun theme to have this random thing come out of nowhere and say, this is what's going on. This is the reason.
1,000%. Look, it's not the same as Insanity or Tommy Cutlets. Obviously, those are players, and they were actually delivering.
Yeah, right? Or the Thumbs Down, or Bronxy the Turtle, or Shane Kelly with a horse head, or all the players just wearing mustaches like the Yankees have done, all of these things. Now they're dogs. It's a different kind of thing.
You just embrace it. That's what, it, you know. Anyways, if you're winning,
they've won seven
works,
in a row. They're the hottest team in baseball.
Exactly. Yeah. 1,000%. But anyways, obviously, could have been a lot worse with the news of Judge tonight, just segueing into the Yankees for a second.
And,
but,
hey, good news. They came negative.
Exactly.
And, you know, that the ball could have hit his hand in an inch further, and it could have broken a bone. So, yeah.
Yeah, but what I don't understand, and I have two more quick points. What I don't understand, first of all, is why do people get so worked up, this whole Red Sox series, right? You know, it's when they lose, it's a long, obviously, it's a 54 games, I believe, right?
162-game season.
162, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
When they lose a season, right, like a regular regular series season to a bad team, you know, or if they lose that
Red Sox
team,
aren't a bad team. The Red Sox have competed against some teams. Baseball is tough. Right? They're a 500 team. It's a rivalry. Fenway is wacky. They stood up on national television, on Fox, on ESPN. They showed up. I don't care. I know they're going to lose. The Yankees lost 80 games last year. They're not going to lose 80 games this year.
But what I don't... So why do people get so ticked off, though, when they're
because
going to lose games?
The Yankees have so many fans, and there is a huge sector of Yankee fans that need something to be negative about, need something to complain about, can't just enjoy the wins and the camaraderie and the chemistry of this team and what they've done without Gerrit Cole. They're always waiting to say, this isn't good enough. Cash needs to do more. Boone sucks.
There was a lot of obviously postseason disappointments. You know that. I feel that these Yankee fans are already at this point. They're ready to point at anything. But
postseason disappointment is a part of baseball. A lot of teams don't even go to the postseason. Thanks for the call, David. I just understand you're gonna lose games. However you lose them, you lose them. I don't want to lose 9 in a row. You lose 2 in a row, it is what it is. They bounce back tonight. They didn't lose 3 in a row. And they look really good at home with Nestor on the mound. Even with Judge going down in the third inning, the rest of the guys beat the big, bad Baltimore Orioles. And it sets up Cole's return. And less pressure on Cole. Pressure is a privilege. That's Cole's quote. But less pressure on Cole, because if they would have lost tonight, then it's like, hey, Cole, you got to hold it down. We can't lose the series. Now it's just like, hey, no Judge. It's on you, Cole. Mow him down, and we'll see who steps up. 888-808-1019. Let's take one more Willie Mays call, and then we'll go to break. Jimmy is in Asbury Park. Jimmy, you're on the Fan.
Good evening, Keith.
Good evening.
I know some of the callers are upset, and I feel that too. I'm hoping you give me a minute to take you down a little trip on memory lane, and some of your older crews will appreciate this.
Yes, sir.
When I was about 15 years old, I'm going to go circa 1972-73, I was a caddy at the Englewood, New Jersey Country Club. It's no longer there. But Willie was a member there. And one day, the caddy master said, you're going to carry Willie's bag today. And here was the foursome. Okay. Some of your older listeners will know who these folks are. It was Willie. It was Sammy Davis Jr., famous entertainer. It was Rocky Graziano, famous boxer. And the fourth member was Buddy Hackett, famous comedian. I'm going back old school now. Well, I want to tell you something. To listen to these four men engage in this good nature ribbing and breaking, you know, chops on the green, and mm-hmm. each of them were at the top of their professions, okay? But here I was, a young guy of 15, listening to these men. And when I tell you men, I mean men in the highest sense of the world, and how they conducted themselves. And it was just a lesson to me as a young man. And just as an aside, I'm going to fast forward about 10, 12 years later. I went in the NYPD, and as a side gig, I used to do bodyguard for Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. And one day I was sitting down with him watching the Knicks game on the TV. And I said, Sammy, I have to tell you a story. I said, I'm going to go back a few years. I was your caddy at the Englewood Country Club. And he said to me, oh, my God, I can't believe it. What a small world. Here we are sitting together watching the Knicks game. But Willie was just a treasure, a humble guy. People would come up to him on the golf course and talk to him, and he'd listen to them and, you know, never cut them off short. He just. You know, love engaging with the people. So that's my story for the audience tonight.
Thank you, Jimmy. Universe never unconnects. See how that came back around from when you were working a job as a young kid and then the profession you chose as a grown man. And, man, as I'm watching SNY do their tribute to Willie Mays, I just think about how someone can give us so much of themselves. Someone can give us so much greatness, bring so much joy into people's lives, but people can still treat them like garbage based off the color of their skin, something that they didn't choose, something that they were born with, something that they wouldn't change, but it's just the way that the world was, and I'm thankful that, you know, every day we're getting further away from that. Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you'd like to join the show, 888-808-1019. I'm on till 2. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. The Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Giants, the New York Yankees, What a time that must have been. I've only read about it and heard about it, and I'm sure we'll hear a little more about it. I'm going to keep going to the Willie Mays calls, but I'm going to mix in some Mets calls and Yankee calls. As we lost Willie Mays yesterday, the Mets win their seventh game in a row yesterday, and the Yankees beat the Baltimore Orioles, which they need to continue to do to create room in the AL East. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get back to it with Jose in Corona, New York. Jose, you're on the Fan.
We lost the greatest player to ever play this game. And it took me a while. I grew up a Yankee fan. I grew up a Mickey Mantle fan. But it took me a while to recognize that number 24 was the greatest. At 5'2", say 5'2", you know, on the power. And like a previous caller said, if he had missed 1952, 1953 in the Army, he would have easily hit 70 home runs. I'm just, you know, from 660, he would have been 730. And I'm just saying conservative. Because the year he came out of the Army, he hit over 50 in 1954. And then he went to the Polo Grounds. He went to Candlestick Park, which was a horrible place for right-handed hitters. Wind was always blowing out to right field. And just to clarify something, the previous caller said, they didn't treat him like trash in San Francisco. But the player they adopted was not Willie McCovey, was Orlando Cepeda in Puerto Rico. He was a rookie of the year in 1958. And because Cepeda came up with the Giants and he was a rookie of the year, they sort of adopted him. But Willie Mays, and I used to go to his wife's Marguerite had a place here in Queens in Astoria Boulevard. I used to hang around there on the Astoria Boulevard, 90th Street near LaGuardia Airport. A lot of the celebrities would go there. Yeah, Marguerite was his first wife. Was his only wife, the mother of his child. So I mingled with a lot of the people of that era, Louis Armstrong, and a lot of the black entertainers. East Elmo's at the time was one of the places where they would go. Talking about Willie, there was no other player, and it took me a while, just like it took me a while to recognize Lou Alcindor, Kareem Jabbar, you know, because I rooted against Kareem all the years because, you know, you were a Knicks fan and from New York, but Kareem, just like Willie, we have to recognize. I'm a Yankee fan, I was a Mickey Mantle guy, but I have to recognize the Kareem.
Thanks for the call, Jose. Yeah, I mean, you know, Paulie was in here before. Manny's in here now. What's up, Manny? We were trying to think about what player for us it would be. And, you know, Paul, you know, mentioned Michael Jordan and the impact that he had on him and being young. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to realize when you've watched them or you rooted against them. And when you've seen generations of other players, I mean, I was just on here talking about how I think Judge is the best player I've watched. Maybe some of that is recency bias. Maybe some of that is also because, you know, in the last 10 years, since Judge has been around 7 years, like, I've literally watched his career. I've never seen a better player in Yankee Stadium. But, you know, on a day like today, a night like tonight, there are a lot of folks saying that Willie Mays is the best player they've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, when things happen like this, I mean, it's cliche and it's tired out, but I mean, you know, it's beautiful that something like this makes all of us come together. I mean, I was born in 97, Keith. I don't know anything about what Willie Mays did back in the day. All I can do is just take a look at, you know, documentaries, baseball docs that I've seen over the first 27 years of my life to know about Willie Mays. So, I mean, a lot of people calling right now to go ahead and share those feelings. I mean, a lot of people are are shaken up right now. And I know for a fact, I mean, you had the conversation with Paulie. I mean, for me, my first favorite player was Derek Jeter. So I know the day
Jeter
that,
was who I said to
the day that Paul. Jeter goes, I know I'm going to be an absolute emotional wreck. So yeah. I know a lot of people are hurting right now, but I mean, he lived one hell of an American life.
Yeah, 93 years old. And like I said before, why this really knocked me down was because of the Rick Wood Field game that is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't even make that connection originally.
He just spoke on it. You know, and I'll read the quote again before we take some more calls and we talk Mets and we talk Yankees. But I'm like, man, I just clipped this for my show tonight where I was going to talk about Willie Mays. I was going to talk about him playing for the Birmingham Black Barons at 17 on this very field. And the quote that he gave Major League Baseball is eerie now because they're famous last words, unfortunately. He said, I'm glad that the Giants, Cardinals, and MLB are doing this, letting everyone get to see pro ball at Rickwood Field. Good to remind people of all the great ball that has been played there and all the players. All these years, and it is still here. So am I. How about that? And we end up losing the GOAT 2 days before he can sit down and watch a television broadcast, which much of it is going to be dedicated to him, and see the literal future that he was hoping for and fighting for, where there are players of all types of different backgrounds, fans of all types of different backgrounds, showing up to Alabama, which was heavily segregated. So the point where the stuff that I was seeing, I just saw the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Bob Kendrick. I've had him on the show. He was talking about how, you know, the Birmingham Black Barons outsold the Birmingham Barons, right? The Black Barons were the draw. They were the better team. They had more fans. They were the media darlings over the regular, you know? So it's just crazy, man. It's crazy, man. It's also crazy that a purple mascot exists for McDonald's and Ronald McDonald's crew. And, you know, the first night I was on, I remember talking, like, why was he throwing out the first pitch of the Mets to have so many people throw their, oh, it was his birthday. There must have been some cosmic energy, the baseball gods, whatever it is. But since then, the Mets haven't lost. Since then, everyone is leaning into it, and it's fun, and you got to enjoy things. And this has been fun with Grimace and the Grimettes.
Can I be that guy real quick?
Sure.
The reason that Grimace, I do believe, was at the game, not only was it his birthday to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, but the Mets and McDonald's do have a little promo thing. I mean, I have the McDonald's app because I'm, you know, an obese American. So whenever the Mets score, five or more runs, you get like a free medium fries from McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little connection between the Mets and McDonald's. So
some comic relief. So I haven't ate McDonald's in years.
I literally had some this afternoon. Should have rolled in here about 9 o'clock. I was munching on some.
There's no place on my phone for a McDonald's app, and I did not know. I was online saying, free fries when Edwin Diaz doesn't blow a save. But there's already a promotion where if the Mets score more than 5 runs, you can get what from McDonald's app?
I took a screenshot and sent it to Sean earlier. Let me grab it. So at 10:09, McDonald's sent me a notification saying free medium fries with a minimum purchase of $1 the day after the New York Mets score 5 or more runs only in the app. Valid one time a day.
Yeah, it would have to be an emergency. I think the last time I ate McDonald's was in the Chicago airport where I was just like, all right, I'm not going to eat before I get on this plane. I just
got to work on that dad bod, man.
Nah, that's the whole thing. Like, you gotta eat right. I'm trying to be jacked and I like to have abs, and if you want a six-pack, it starts in the kitchen, and eating McDonald's certainly doesn't help. But now there's obviously this Grimace McDonald's Mets thing, and it's blown up. The McDonald's account is tweeting with the Mets account. It's all working in concert. Let's go to Nacho in Cliffside Park. Nacho, what's up, man? You're back on the Fan.
How's it going, Keith? Long time no speak. Listen, the last time I called, you said a joke when I hung up. That it was nobody else's business. And let me tell you something. Right now in the Queens, the only business that we know is a winning business right now. 7-0, all right? And I was speaking to a buddy of mine, a Yankee guy, and the joke he always has with me is that to be a Met fan, it's like an emotional roller coaster, right? It's like being in a very toxic relationship. And, I mean, this is the trap. They just keep running right. Just as I'm getting out, they pull me right back in this team, you know?
Yeah, you're never out, though. You're a Mets fan. That's your baseball team. It's a long season. You're never really out.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm really enjoying how they're playing ball right now. I think that there was just a few changes needed. Lindor coming up in the like being lead off. I think that really helped. Alvarez coming back. I think Alvarez was that catalyst that really, really, you know, made us come back from a really crappy May. You know, I think yeah. Alvarez was really that puzzle piece. Many people don't think that. I think Alvarez was really an important part of this team. And when he got injured, we hadn't won a series, right? The Dodgers series when he got injured back in April. And it was just a complete fall apart. The team fell apart and things like this. Comes back. And, I mean, he's really, you know, really shown that he's worth, right? He's a good player. And, I mean, the guys are hitting. The guy, J.D. Martinez, I mean, he should be an all-star. If a Met is going to be an all-star, it should be J.D. Martinez. Give this guy another year with us. Why not? We need a designated. We should have signed him in 2020 and 2022. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We have him now. He's
hitting. 0-4 today. I don't know if he's going to make the all-star game as
yeah, but okay, you won game, Keith. Come on, baseball, there's a whole season. This guy.
Yesterday, I don't think he really balled out either. But no, maybe. I just don't know if he's an all-star, I'm saying. I don't know if he's big all-star.
Look, if a Met is going to be one, it ought to be him, I think. You know, I mean, he's the reason why we're in this streak right now. Whatever he doesn't hit today, but he's a good hitter. One question I have for you, Keith, with McNeil, because, I mean, it's the inevitable. He's going to go. Who replaces him in second base? Who is it Beatty? Mauricio? Is it Acuna? Who's
Jose,
the one that's
going to replace Iglesias today, and he made a great play at the end of the game, turning that double play. Yeah. They keep telling you Jeff McNeil is their second baseman because they want to get the best out of him. But if they can't force it out of him, then he's just going to have to get out of here. Thanks for the call, Nacho. 888-808-1019. Like, I put out today watching the Yankees and watching DJ LeMahieu. I'm like, is DJ LeMahieu's fall off as a batting champ worse than Jeff McNeil's? I know he's 4 years older than Jeff McNeil. I know he won the batting title 4 years ago versus 2 years ago. But when I'm talking about a guy that was getting MVP votes, a guy that was a 300-plus hitter, 320 hitter, a guy that made contact consistently, hit the ball hard, the version of DJ we've seen over the last few years from 2021, 2022, 2023, now 2024, he got paid more than Jeff McNeil. He's falling off a cliff, and that's why the Yankees said, hey, we can't just say DJ's our everyday first baseman and move him over there because we pay him $15 million a year. The production's not there. He's batting ninth. Go ahead and press the Ben Rice button. And Ben Rice comes up, and Ben Rice smiling ear to ear, doing the Rice Bowl, and just being a kid, even though he's 25. You know, he gets a knock today, and DJ goes 0-3. Let's go to Matt in Stratford, Connecticut on the fan. Before we go to break, Matt, you got it.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. Big fan here. I thought Ben Rice had a great debut tonight. And my question for you is, if he continues to perform while Rizzo's out, do you think he stays and like keeps the position at first base when Rizzo's back? Or do you think when Rizzo's healthy, he'll
Rizzo
take the
is
back?
Not back for a while. Like, Rizzo is not back until August, maybe? And I don't mean the laugh. Like, I'm not even thinking about that. We take it day by day, game by game, series by series. Like, I'm glad that this kid came up and got a hit. The first time the ball was hit his way, he charged at it. You know, he kind of cut in front of Glaber, but he had to make a play, whatever. No harm, no foul. They were able to get the force out at second not long after that. I'm glad that this kid is getting an opportunity. I'm glad that the Yankees say, hey, we can be like the rest of baseball and call guys up that are dominated in the minor leagues and give them a chance and let them live their dream. I'm not worried about Anthony Rizzo because he's done. Like, he's not going to be here next year. This is last year. I know he's a clubhouse guy and guys love him, but we need production. We need to win. We're in the middle of the gauntlet of June. And if Ben Rice can hit and play the position, It's his right now until they decide whether they want to make a trade at the deadline for a major league level first baseman. But it's only been one game. Let's see what he does next time he's in there. Let's see what he does week after week. I don't know. I can't call it. I can't say after one game Ben Rice is taking over first base over Anthony Rizzo. What I can say is even before this, Anthony Rizzo was getting rest days and days off because he wasn't effective.
For sure. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, like, overall, though, this is just a fresh look from the Yankees. Like, you compare this to the 2022 Yanks when, like, we were, like, riding IKF at short, Donaldson at third. We waited till, like, late August to call up Peraza, to call up Cabrera. Like, now we're calling up Ben Rice, like, a prospect at first base. Like, I feel like we mean business this year. Like, that would have been nice to have that urgency back in 2022 when we were lighting the league on fire, like, in June. And then we waited to kind of collapse in, like in August until we called those guys up. And I feel like there's a lot more urgency this year.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that.
Thanks for the call, Matt. I mean, I think they mean business every year, but like, I think that their hand was forced. Rizzo's not producing and now he's hurt. DJ's not producing. You can't just say, okay, he's the first baseman. I thought that's what they were going to do. I heard C-Mac's show last night. He thought that like, most Yankees, I woke up this morning and the first thing I saw at 8:30 was Benner. I had to read it twice. I'm like, wait, they actually did it in June. This kid was just in Double A. He was just playing for the Somerset Patriots. He played 11 games. He's got 50 at-bats at Triple A. So what? He's the number 12 prospect. He's mashed. He's worked his way up. And he spent time in college. So it's not like he's 20, 21. He's 25. Go ahead and bring him up. You're not going to ruin him. Go ahead and bring him up because you can't just overnight make a call and trade for a first baseman and you can't just go with what you have. So I like the move. I hope the kid continues. I can't wait to see him hit his first homer. They say he's going to be in there against right-handed pitching. So be it. We'll worry about Rizzo coming back when Rizzo comes back. But even if he does come back, he can't be your everyday first baseman if you think you're winning the World Series. 888-808-1019. We're talking Yanks. We're talking Mets. And we're paying our respects to the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan for one more hour. Call up and join the show. We're coming right back.